T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
If he ends up playing, if he's able to play, then he plays. And it's like I was dealing with my son playing youth football this weekend. You know, if he's hurt and he's going to get the okay to play, then you can't tell somebody to play a game and not get hit. You can't do it. If you're okay to play a game, then you're okay to get hit. It's not hard. You know, it's pretty simple. For me, it is.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have the great Zach Zabin sitting in this morning, and that is the voice of Matt Nagy, and we are delighted to welcome in Rich Campbell. Rich joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Rich, of course, the Tribune Bears man. Hey, Rich, how are you, bud? What's going on?
I'm great, guys. I'm very glad Zach did not tell me he was going to be on this morning. I probably wouldn't have slept last night. I would have been so excited to talk Bears with my friend.
By the way, did you get, and thank you very much for the kind words. I love talking to Rich, love talking football and more stuff. When he was on last week, did you guys address the English Premier League?
Yeah,
did
we
you guys
talk about it? Well, we talked about it beforehand, and I believe we talked about it after.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I'm glad Kevin put in the update there that the U.S. men's national team lost to Canada, because this should be a national outcry.
I got to tell you, he said that to me this morning. I taped the game, and I didn't watch it because there were other sports on that were more relevant to my life. But I was planning on going home and watching it. Now I'm not so sure.
Wow.
Because they beat Cuba by about 7 goals or something, and Cuba's awful.
The state of our national team is a debacle, one cares because they're irrelevant.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Maybe we can have the women get into the Men's World Cup and represent our nation.
Oh, I can't go another cycle with no team in the World Cup.
I know. It's really horrible. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, well, don't get me started because I literally
look
could
what
go on and repeat
we did. Look what we did.
Thanks,
here.
Zach.
Mission accomplished. That's what I was trying to get.
The one thing I will say, and I think this is really funny, they beat Cuba like 7-0, and I'm watching the broadcast of that game, and they were talking about the problems they were having with the Cuban national team, that every time they go to a tournament, like 4 guys defect. So, like, they had lost 11 players or 12 players in the last 9 months or something. Because every time they play a game, they just don't go back.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to football. American
tear
football.
Tear down your team. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Relax.
You're the one who brought it up.
So I heard Dave Ragone, the Bears quarterback's coach, say this the other day, and he mentioned how the Bears, from an offensive standpoint, learned after that first game against Green Bay, and they felt that they managed the second game against Denver much better, and then the third one, they liked the way Trubisky was executing the offense. So when the offense is right, based on the personnel they now have and some of the injuries they have to navigate around, what is this offense going to look like on Sunday? What's the goal in terms of making this team efficient from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that Ragone interview. We talked to the Bears position coaches yesterday. It's their monthly media session. And so what I wanted to hear from Ragone is this very low bar that the Bears set for Mitch about incremental improvement. Remember, we talked to Ryan Pace in Decatur in July, and Nagy has reinforced this. They wanted to see incremental improvement. And Ragone's point was, yeah, they played better against the Redskins than they played against the Packers. That's improvement. It's like, okay, well, let's take into account the degree of difficulty there. But to Ragone's point, Mitch was getting through his progressions as best as he ever has. He was doing that against the Redskins. And so Ragone was very eager to see Trubisky build on that against a Vikings team that Mitch is familiar with. And then he gets hurt. And so Ragone's point was, it's a small sample size for Mitch so far. So he was resistant to any grand judgments about the 2019 season. And that's fine. You know, if the coaching staff approaches it that way, they're certainly within their the you know right of their mindset to think of it that way. But okay, then we need to see more extended stretches like the second quarter of that Redskins game where guys are running open across the field. You don't see that enough. Guys just running open with a defender trailing them and Trubisky putting him in position to make yards after the catch. So that's one thing, Zach. The other thing that the Bears really loved, the throw to Gabriel, the touchdown throw, the long one, 37 yards. It was off script. It was off schedule. The way he climbed the pocket and just gave Gabriel a chance in a one-on-one situation that it wasn't perfectly protected and it wasn't Gabriel running wide open, that it was a little bit murky, and that Trubisky made an athletic play to lift them, to make that play call right, to make that whole thing right. So those two things, Trubisky making off-schedule plays when it's not clean, and then guys running open, you know, the design has worked, guys are beating their man, getting separation, and then Trubisky is accurate, getting them in a position to run after the catch.
How much will Akeem being out long-term hurt? Is there a big difference between a short-term fix and a long-term fix?
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I have questions about whether the defense can remain at this elite level without him simply because of what he means to them on every down. I mean, it's not just run or pass. It's pass rush. It's both. And we saw the Raiders moving the Bears defensive linemen out in that game in London. And completely different story from the Vikings game when those backups, Nick Williams, you know, Roy Robertson Harris, even Abdullah Anderson were holding the point. We're keeping the linebackers clean in the run game because it really does start for that defense with the run, in the front seven. So without Hicks in the center, I think this is a huge problem for them. We'll see how valuable he is to that defense over the next 8 or more weeks. But yeah, his strength as a pass rusher, you know, the way he can just bull rush and collapse the pocket from the inside has helped them so many times because you can't devote all this attention to the edge rushers that the Bears have. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player, and you just can't lose those types of guys and not miss a beat. So we'll see how well equipped they are. But given how the offense has needed the help from the defense, I mean, this has the potential to be catastrophic. You know, let's not go that far until we see it play out a little bit. But the returns in the Raiders game were terrible. It was the defense's worst game, and it was because Hicks wasn't in there, big part of it. So we'll see. But I think there's every reason for Bears fans to be wringing their hands about this.
That's why they have to play complimentary football. I know people hate the term, but that's the key to success going forward for this team. And the offense has to start helping the defense out, especially since the defense is not going to be as strong as you just mentioned because of the Hicks injury. And part of the way that they can play complimentary football is by making more of a commitment to the run. Are you surprised that they can't get any semblance of the running game going, considering how much talk leading into the season there was when it came to Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery and the explosiveness of those two players?
It's not that. I'm surprised that their running game is so bad because the offensive line has been so bad. I mean, everything we have heard about Harry Hiestand is that he's this master teacher of technique, and you can watch any quarter of Bears football this season and see bad blocking technique from their offensive linemen and tight ends. It's everyone. I mean, Harry said it yesterday to us. We're all taking our turns missing blocks. That is a damning indictment of everything they have going up front, that they can't even rely on one guy to be consistent and finish blocks and climb to the second level and displace defenders up front. I mean, it is really shambolic what they have going on up front right now. And for all the Bears have talked about continuity with this line, they brought back 5 starters from a line behind which Jordan Howard averaged only 3.7 yards per carry last season. You know, I agree that Jordan Howard wasn't the fit for Matt Nagy, and I saw that, didn't have a problem with them trading him at all. But if you look back at last season and the reason they couldn't run the ball, it was also because their offensive line couldn't block. And so they doubled down on just about everybody on this line, you know, with contract extensions other than James Daniels. And here they are, and you have the O-line coach admitting we're all taking turns. So when the blocking breaks down and Nagy wants to go away from it, you understand why. He feels like they can pass protect better than they can run block. And that's not anything a single offensive lineman would tell you they prefer to do. but they haven't proven they can do the other thing, so they're going to pass. And I don't think we've seen David Montgomery at his best as a result. I do think it'll be interesting if there are more established running lanes for Montgomery, whether we see him hit the holes differently, whether he's not as quick to try to work laterally, which is one of his strengths. I'll be interested to see if we see more Mike Davis as they've self-scouted through the bye week and try to get him, you know, in the veteran presence into, you know, what is otherwise a murky, you know, run blocking scheme right now because of all the blocking problems. But I just think it's an O-line issue, and I don't know how they're going to fix it because they're not going to overhaul all the personnel. We'll see how Kyle Long's, you know, move to IR and, you know, Rashad Coward coming up in his place will affect that. But they've got a lot to prove, and I think Harry Hiestand has a lot to prove as well.
What do you make of the tight end position, and how big a disappointment has that been? And will getting, and I don't even know what's getting healthy, getting better, will anything change?
Yeah, it's a huge anchor on this offense. I mean, think of all the roster spots that they're devoting to tight ends. They're not getting production from any of them. I don't think you see Trey Burton open. I don't think you see him separating from defenders. That's, to me, where I have questions about his fitness. Maybe that helps him coming out of the bye week and we see him running open a little bit more. Maybe we see a little bit more suddenness on that intermediate level on any type of option route where he's just breaking away from a linebacker. I just don't feel like we've seen that enough. We don't see any chemistry between Mitch Trubisky and Trey Burton. The timing between them isn't right. We don't see any yards after the catch, really. So that's a problem. Blocking has been awful. I mean, Adam Shaheen, we know he's not a trained blocker at wide tight end. Well, that's the position they have him at, so he's miscast there. Might not end up being a you know, worth the second round pick. He certainly hasn't been so far. So Shaheen's not giving you any type of red zone presence, which is the one thing that the Bears have touted about him that he could be. So you've got Burton still with the question mark about his fitness, Shaheen and his overall ability to play and be a consistent player. And then the Bradley Sole experiment has failed. Obviously, they continue to drop him from the roster every week and bring him back up. So he's not really a factor for you there as a wide tight end. Ben Broniker's a non-issue in the passing, you know, non-entity in the passing game. Their best tight end right now might be J.P. Holtz, who they claimed off waivers after week one, and they used him in sort of this H-back, fullback role. Yeah, and what's the impact there? I mean, your fullback's never going to make your offense, so it's an anchor. I mean, Matt Nagy was not here when Ryan Pace drafted Shaheen out of Division II Ashland. I would not be surprised if that union ended at the first chance it could, which is still another year. So, you know, Nagy, I think, still is going to have to do more to remake that position. But they did handpick Trey Burton, and Burton's injury has hurt them. They don't have that dimension in their offense right now.
Hey, Rich, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
That's Rich Campbell covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, it's just been such a disappointment, the collection of guys, and it's crazy. It's crazy. They got to get more out of that position. But, you know, they got to get more out of running the football. They got to get more out of their offense, period, end of story.
And I think you can.
Hopefully, with Mitch coming back.
It starts with a commitment.
Well, that's it. I mean, you got to commit to running the ball to begin with, and it's just not there. You know, we're gonna shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk a little baseball. We've got Zach here, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit. Want to talk to him about
Cubbies.
Yeah, and specifically more personnel issues. You know, who do you keep and who do you let go? How do you handle the idea of a, you know, great trade you made where you brought in a guy in Castellano who really helped you and was different and changed things a little bit? How do you handle that? Does he need to come back? And if you're bringing him back, then what does that mean? Where does he play? Does he move to the other side? Is Jay Hay going to be your right fielder? Does he prefer that? Is he as good if he's a center fielder? We'll get into some of that stuff with Zach next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want to talk about these Cubs and what they're doing.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. So we have Zach Zabin filling in today. And Zach, of course, is you hear him on all the broadcasts. He does all the work. Yes, he's the best. And we have a lot going on in the world of baseball. We have the Astros going up 2-1. The Yankees won in Houston, and now Houston has won in New York. And there's going to be at least two more games in that series to determine which team will be the favorite in the World Series. But we already have a National League champion. The Nationals, they went nuts. They just swept the Cardinals. And this Cardinals team that scored 10 runs in the first inning of a game as they were booking their passage to the NLCS, they end up scoring, what, 6 runs? In the 4 games they lose, something along those lines. I mean, they just got stuffed. And the big joke is that they, of course, adapted the Cubs offense. But the Nationals, the broken offense is the joke. The Nationals got very hot, came down the stretch on fire, and have had great pitching and have done a lot of really good things. And you have to feel good about what's going on for them, losing Bryce Harper and of course, managing, I mean, think about it. Davey Martinez, who, of course, was with the Cubs, Joe Madden disciple. Here's a guy that you thought he was going to be fired in the first month of the season, the first couple months of the season. And now he's got a team in the World Series, and things are a little bit different. They're all pumped up. And so we look at the Cubs. What are they doing? How far away were they if the Cardinals are sweeping them in a big series late in the season? And one-run games, and now, you know, see the Cardinals swept by the Nationals. How far away are they from being where they want to be? We got to figure out who the manager is going to be. But the personnel issues are all there. We still don't know how they're going to line it up next year.
I think the Cubs are going to be a very different team than the one that you became accustomed to seeing over this 5-year golden era of Cubs baseball. And you know what stands out about the Nationals to me? Because the Cubs had an opportunity to play them in Washington in mid-May when they were not playing. They did not look like a good group. And the Cubs were hot at the time. That was really the last time before
they went 500, basically, or below 500.
And I think what stood out to me when we saw the Nationals for the second time during the year when they came to Wrigley late in the season, they swept the Cubs. They just hit the baseball.
Yeah.
They consistent. And it's Joe Madden ball. You know, you talked about Davey Martinez being a disciple of Joe Madden, but they consistently put pressure on you by putting the ball in play. They're not looking to jack the ball out of the yard like most of these teams in Major League Baseball. What they're looking to do is just make solid contact. And you heard Theo Epstein talk about this at the end of the season during the 81.5-minute post-mortem of the Cubs season.
Right.
And I think the thing that stood out from an offensive standpoint, if you're just listening to the baseball stuff, you know, the Cubs swing and miss a ton. And they hit home runs, but they're a home run hitting team that didn't hit as many home runs as, say, what you see from the Astros, the Yankees, the Twins, the Dodgers. And I think that hurt them. And they don't make enough contact when they're not hitting the home run. So it's either strikeout or home run. And I think you want to have a little bit more balance to your lineup. I think it's one of the reasons that Theo Epstein said, you know what? It is an issue. The fact that they don't have a leadoff hitter, that they haven't really replaced what Dexter Fowler gave them during the championship season of 2016. So when I look ahead, and I don't know all the moves that are going to be made, but the one thing you know, when Theo Epstein talks, he's very transparent. He speaks with confidence. He's not afraid to tell you what he's looking to do. And he's not lying to you. You don't have to guess what he's trying to say.
Right.
So what the Cubs are going to do this offseason is put together a more balanced team that relies on more than just the home run. So one of these core players that you've fallen in love with over the last 5 years, maybe two, are going to be traded.
How many do you think there are in the core? Are there how many players?
30 or thereabouts.
About 30 of them. No, well, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I think.
Is Schwarber a member of the core? Because to me, it's a four-man core that we're talking about. We're talking about Baez and Bryant and Rizzo and Wilson Contreras. And I guess, do you include Schwarber?
Well, here's how I look at it.
Not really.
You have a core four of Rizzo, Baez, yes. Bryant, and Contreras. And the reason that the Cubs have dipped over the last couple of seasons, in my opinion, is because the next four after the core four, you've not seen, other than Schwarber this year, yes. had a terrific bounce back season. But you know, you got nothing from Addison to Russell. And if I would have told right. you in 2016, yeah, there's the off the field stuff. We know about that. But on the field, there's been just zero production.
He's got to be gone.
Considering what you thought you would be getting after the 2016 season. You know, Ian Happ kind of showed you a little bit at the tail end of the season. But, you know, the fact that he was missing for most of the years, they tried to get him right. That's been an issue, and I don't think he's taken the step that they thought he would. Albert Almora Jr. has gone backwards.
Okay.
You know, so
that's the second four. Now, where does J-Hay fit in? He's in his own core of contracts. Is that it? I mean, the weird thing about him is, he had moments this year, no question. It was probably the best year he's had since signing that contract. But that contract gives him the ultimate job security, and the bang for the buck has just not been there.
Right, but I think anyone who watched the Cubs on a regular basis, you weren't sitting there going, oh my goodness.
No, I'm just saying, as we sit here and talk about the core, we haven't mentioned his name, and he is the highest paid guy on the core.
Right, but I think there's incredible value that he gives you in the clubhouse. He's coming off his best season.
When you got him in a spot where you needed him, he couldn't deliver. Castellanos, yes or no? Is he back?
Do you think that Nicholas Castellanos will ever perform better than he did during the last couple of months as a Cub?
Probably not. I don't know. He's pretty damn good.
He was great for years with Detroit.
And the problem is he's reached a different salary level.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, so you're going to have to overpay to keep him. That's what it amounts to. And that's what you're driving.
And Zach, you make a lot of great points there. But I think, really, the problem this season was the pitching more than anything. I mean, you're going to have inconsistency with any great lineup. The Cubs have a ton of good hitters, but you look at the teams in the World Series right now, you look at the teams in the American League Championship Series, both starting pitching and bullpen was much stronger, much more consistent with what the Cubs offered.
Well, we got sidetracked with the Hayward stuff. I think that getting back... That no, listen,
the,
listen.
That
listen.
Was the last no, but listen, 30 seconds of our conversation.
I think going back to what you saw from Washington and then looking back at the 2016 season, I think this is the reason you're going to break up the core because you want to have a more balanced team. You know what the Cubs had in 2016? You threw Jake Arrieta on the mound by himself. You felt like you were going to win the game no matter what your offense was doing. Same thing with Kyle Hendricks that season and what John Lester was going to be able to provide. Their starting pitching numbers were not bad, but they weren't dominant.
Middle of the road.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where if you're going to trade someone from that core four, that's what you're looking to get back and kind of balance the team out.
All right, we got to shift gears yet again. We got Kevbo. We're going to bring in Michael Lombardi, and we'll talk to him about Mitch's development. No, we won't. MVP Mitchell.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
Now, everybody's going to bitch about Nagy not going over there early and all that, but this loss is not on the fact that MVP Mitch wasn't there. This is all on their defense. Their defense couldn't get off the field on third down.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
They can't run the ball. I mean, they're showing you who they are, and even if MVP Mitch, when he comes back, if they don't get a stellar performance from their defense, if they have one of these days with their defense where their defense gives up almost 400 yards and they're 50% on third down, they're not very good. I thought their defense was better than this, and the Raiders and John did a great job exposing it.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We have the ginger hair genius himself, Zach Zaidman, sitting in, and on the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And Michael joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. How are we doing?
We are doing well. And let's start the conversation with the big trade. You know, you couldn't help from a Chicago perspective, but think about the Bears making a big trade a year ago and bringing in Khalil Mack, and obviously the they gave up two first round picks. They did get a second rounder back, and they got a conditional fifth, and they gave up a third and a sixth. When you look at what was done yesterday, and Jalen Ramsey, I guess the Rams are going to change their name. They'll be Ramsey. The Jalen Ramsey, they gave up two firsts and a fourth with nothing back. So, I don't know. Does it make the Bears trade look better? Can this particular corner turn around the fortunes of a team? Why that trade? What's going on with the Rams? Where are you at with that?
You know, I look at this deal like Bruce Springsteen has, he's my hero. I grew up in New Jersey. I make no apologies for it whatsoever. I grew up near Highway 9. He has one of the great lines in one of his songs. He says, "Sometimes I can't tell my courage from my desperation." And I'm not sure this trade was courageous. I think it's more desperate. I really do. I mean, first of all, I think Ramsey's a good player. But to give up two number ones for a corner that basically you cannot throw the ball to, there's always another corner or another corner you could throw the ball against. You could ignore them the whole game. And unless you have a great pass rush, unless you have Khalil Mack and you give up two number ones, I'm not sure it's really worth it. Look, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jalen Ramsey, Deion Sanders. If you can't get to the quarterback and the quarterback has all day to throw, you're going to get open. You're just going to get open eventually. And so for me, I thought the Rams were a desperate play here. Their offensive line is a disaster. They can't protect. They've got now they're going to have Goff, Cook, Aaron Donald, Ramsey, tied up in huge sums of money. They're going to have five players. They're going to eat away most of their cap. They have no depth already as a football team. So for me, I was a little bit like, I think this is an awful lot. And I would have rather seen them put it for an offensive lineman. If they did that for a left tackle or a guard, somebody, I get it, but not for a corner.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you because I would say that the defensive Rams that you saw in the Super Bowl still better than the team they are today with Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, look, it's about your front, right? You've got to be able to win. I mean, Fowler's played better for them. I mean, they should really call themselves the Los Angeles Jaguars. They should probably trade for the Jaguars the personnel director, David Caldwell, too. I mean, they've got Fowler, they got the great Blake Bortles, and now they got Jalen Ramsey. I mean, look, I just think to me, this whole thing's wrong with the Rams, and it really starts with, and I've been critical of Goff from his first year. To me, Goff's not a franchise quarterback. To me, Goff's not a $180 million quarterback. To me, Sean McVay made Goff, and they knew he made Goff, and they went ahead and paid him anyway. Like, I don't understand it. Goff is not going to carry the team where you need to go. And the way they're paying him, he has to.
That's a great point because, and I look at the Bears from that standpoint, too. What happens when you're all in? And the Rams are all in. I think that's why they're making this move because they realize that this is the window. They have no choice but to make moves like this. When you look at the Bears, they made the big trade for Mack last season. They go out this offseason and they try to surround Mitchell Trubisky with as much talent as possible. They're all in because basically you have a 3-year window before you have to make a decision on his future. But what happens to a franchise when you realize that your franchise quarterback isn't what you thought he was going to be?
Well, I think that's to me, if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm looking at Jacksonville and trying to learn something, right? Jacksonville, 10 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl in New England, 10 minutes away, right? And we went into that offseason, and they convinced themselves because David Caldwell drafted Blake Bortles, and David Caldwell was not going to hear anybody tell him that Blake Bortles was terrible. Now, I was critical of Blake Bortles from the beginning, right? Nobody could tell David Caldwell he wasn't a good player. So they ignored Deshaun Watson. They take a running back, Leonard Fournette, and for a fourth pick overall. Could you imagine 10 minutes away from the Super Bowl, the next year you add Deshaun Watson, you let Bortles go, where's your team? Where's your team? And Ryan Pace is going to have to answer the same question. He should know the answer right now. If he extends Mitchell Trubisky's contract moving forward, then all he's trying to do is just protect his draft pick. He knows who he is by now. You guys can all talk about he's going to get better, he's going to do this. No, stop. That's enough, right? No. The quarterback is the most important position in football. The Jets were one of the worst teams in football for 3 weeks. Sam Darnold comes back on the field. Guess what happened? They beat the Cowboys. They beat, all of a sudden, they look like a professional football team. Why? Sam Darnold's good. Sam Darnold's good. So you got to do that. And that's his exact, the Bears are in the same spot that the Jaguars are in. If they don't correctly evaluate Mitchell Trubisky, they're going to fall into the same trap.
Well, you know, it's very interesting you say that, because obviously it's the same week now that Marcus Mariota has been, he's lost his starting job. Jameis Winston, I don't know if there's still hope for him, but he just threw five picks. I mean,
there's no hope for Jameis.
Yeah.
He's won 21 games in his career. He can't help himself. Even the games he doesn't record picks in, like, let's just take example when they played New Orleans 2 weeks ago. He threw two picks in that game, and he got bailed out by the officials for defensive calls.
But my point was simply that these are places that are going to have to make decisions on quarterbacks too, and you don't want to be, you know, Jared Goff might be in the same boat as those guys, but you can't do anything about him because you paid him. So that's
right.
That's the dilemma you're facing here in Chicago. If Mitch can't get it done here on his return, then, you know, you can bring him back for another year, but you're going to have to get someone behind him, and then you're going to have to be able to move on if that is – and that's what happens. You know, people talk about, well, Mitch could be like Alex Smith. Hey, Alex Smith, he did not do what he did in his career for the team that drafted him.
Exactly. You can't. I mean, you're not winning with Alex Smith. You're not winning a Super Bowl. You're going to go against a team that's going to force the quarterback to participate in the game. And if you're going to win Super Bowls in Chicago, you're going to need to have that. And if you're Ryan Pace, you have to swallow your pride and say, you know what? Even though I passed on Mahomes, even though I passed on Watson, and I picked Trubisky, I made a mistake, right? You've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to say that. Now, some people say it's too early to judge. Okay, fine. You know, you're averaging 3-4 a carry in the run game. You're under 10 yards in the passing game, yards per catch. Not attempt, yards per catch. That's unheard of. You've got no explosiveness to your offense. And is it because Mitchell's growing and he's getting better? You have to answer that question.
Michael, I love reading you in The Athletic, and I enjoyed your column on Andy Reid. And I got to tell you, as I read it, I was filling in a lot of blanks with Matt Nagy, because it's the same issue that we're talking about here. We're talking, you know, they don't have a great defense in Kansas City, and he's not helping that defense at all. And if anyone ever needed to kind of slow down the game, maybe it's here in Chicago, where if you run the ball, if you play some complimentary football, that defense could carry you a long way.
Yeah, well, and I think the other issue that Matt doesn't really seem to want to address or understand is the fact that you're playing in Chicago and it's bad weather, and you're going to have to deal with the bad weather games. And if you don't deal with bad weather games, that's going to be problematic. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so, you know, that's really the issue. And I think that, you know, there's no power to his offense. You can't go sideways all the time. And then when you constantly are calling for pass plays, you stop the clock. I mean, in that column I wrote, I mean, the reality of it is he went ahead and had four first downs in the middle of the second quarter from 12 minutes to 8 minutes. He got four first downs, and he just ate 3.5 minutes off the clock. And he puts his defense back on the field. They played 40 minutes. That defense isn't good enough to play a single header, let alone a doubleheader.
Man, Michael, when you were a GM, did you ever have a situation like the Lions went through on Monday night? And what does the league say to you the next day after they review what happened?
Well, I'm a product of the tuck. So, I mean, you know, look, I've seen every excuse they can make known to mankind. I mean, you know, the reason we had to play the tuck in New England is because we got called for tripping when it really wasn't a trip. Frank Middleton bumped a defender running through the B gap with his hip, and they called tripping. I mean, they still think it's a good call today. Look, I think this is the way you have to approach it. You didn't lose the game because of the calls. You lost the game because you were bad in the red zone. And it's the only way you can approach it as an executive. If you want to get caught up on the officials, then you're just the fan sitting in the stands. You lost that game because if you watch that game closely, the first two, three drives of the game, you moved the ball down the field on the Packers effortlessly. You got in the red zone three times, and you came away with 13 points. If you come away with 21 points, you're going to win that game. But you didn't. And then in the second half, you had to settle for field goals every time turn around. And that cost you.
New Orleans has a 5-1 record. They come here to Chicago. The Bears coming off the bye. We know what happened. We talked about what happened with Oakland and in London. What happens in this game?
Well, I think New Orleans is going to copy the same blueprint on the Bears and stay ahead of the down and distance. You know, the Bears didn't do a very good job of de-arming what Oakland does really well. Oakland's the number one team in not allowing negative plays. Oakland's the number two team in off first half first down efficiency. Oakland just matriculated 4 yards, 5 yards, and ran the ball. I think without Akeem and Hicks in there, it's going to be a similar story. You're going to have to play that. Now, the defense of the Saints is much better than the Raider defense. It's not as slow. It can cover. The Saints are playing really good complementary football right now. Sean Payton has managed Teddy Bridgewater really well, and he understands how to handle it. So this will be a challenge. I think the Bears' defense will play much better. I don't doubt that whatsoever. I think they'll put pressure on Teddy. I think they'll definitely be disruptive in this game because they were embarrassed in London. The key is going to be, will MVP Mitch make some plays in the passing game? And let me say this to you. The Saints will make no bones about it. They'll force him to have to beat him in the game.
Hey, Michael, thanks a ton. Always a joy to catch up with you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That is radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And this segment of the Mully and Haw Show is sponsored by Nutrisystem for Men. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50 plus. Get a week of protein-packed shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. All right, we're going to come back and talk about all that he just said. There's a lot there. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Mully and Haw, we've got Zach Zabeman here on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.